the Women Unleashed podcast. Join us as we share with you the fun, confronting, wild, fucked up, epic, and raw side of being a woman in today's world. Nothing is off limits. Allow yourself to be inspired to be unleashed.
We acknowledge that we are recording our podcast on the traditional country of the Turrbal and Yuggera people and pay respect to their elders past and present. We acknowledge and respect their continuing culture and contribution they make to this community.
All right, we're back with our second emotions podcast or episode of the podcast. Jess and I got so carried away last week. We were just like, okay, we've got to keep recording.
Do you think we had some really excited emotions? I think so.
Okay, yes.
Inspired emotions.
Yeah, inspired emotions. I actually have on the backdrop of my laptop, which we'll look at, I have this, it's called Plutik's Wheel of Emotion, and like there's a shitload of emotions on there. But I put it there when I was learning about emotions. And if we were to look, if I was to look at that and see which ones I was having, there was like, there was love, there was acceptance, there was awe.
Mm-hmm.
That's probably what there was for me.
Mm.
Yeah.
I'd say interest for me.
Mm-hmm.
So interest, joy.
Yeah, joy.
And surprise.
Surprise.
Yeah. Because who knows what's going to be said. I love that feeling.
Yeah. Yeah. Mm. I just love the feeling of self-discovery, like things opening up as we're talking. So, and look, if that happened to you too, don't hold back. Like share it with us on Instagram.
Yeah, please do. I want to know that I'm not a cuckoo nut. Let me know. Let me know that you're with me, people.
What's a cuckoo nut?
I've made it up for myself. In this moment, I think I said it in the previous podcast episode. So a cuckoo nut is somebody that is alone. Don't make me feel alone, ladies. Come okay. And let me know that I am, that you're with me, that you yeah. feel me, that you understand what I'm saying, come, that we're both saying.
Come to the emotion party. That's what it's all about. All about. It was this really cool point you just said and it's like left my head. So
okay,
I'll just go to the next one. How have you expressed, like when you've noticed you've had an emotion, how have you intentionally, or actually let's go with unintentionally and then intentionally expressed it?
Such a good question. Such a good question.
Or like uncontrollably, do you know what I mean? Like
I do know what you mean.
It's kind of all intentional, but you're just not in control sometimes.
Yeah,
or,
yeah. yeah. So unintentional for me looks like shutting down. So that's the unintentional reaction that I have to my emotions. So I become exclusive towards others. I isolate myself. I do not want to talk to people. I shut down from my partner. I start to see the negative within him as well. So I shut down. That's my unintentional reaction. I become very introverted, much more than I naturally am.
And negative.
And negative. Ooh, do I feel like the world
negative
is going to end?
Negative
Nelly. Seriously. What a joke. The things that go through my
now,
head.
Yeah.
So very negative, very much so that everything in my life is wrong and that I need to quickly pack up and move to Italy like every time.
That is so great because every time you say, Brit, I'm going to Italy, I just know you're on it. Know you're up against it, having some big emotions.
Yeah, I think everybody does now in my life and they're like, oh, here we go again, Jess. Yeah, Jess and her Italian dreams, which is fine, people, but just not in those moments. So that's my unintentional reaction and I very much swirl around in my head. And it is a place that is tormenting, really tormenting for me. It's not a nice place to be. And
it's a place that I'm trying to get out of, but I'm trying to find the perfect ways to communicate it. So that's part of my process.
Oh, so you're trying to get it right as
well. I am trying to get it right. Yeah. And I'm trying to make sure that I can communicate myself in a way where it lands the way I want it to land with that person or those people.
Mm.
And I don't miss something. Mm-hmm. So it's an opportunity for me to get everything out on the table, but I want to do it so that I'm not making the situation worse.
Yeah.
So that's okay. The unintentional way. The intentional way then is, okay, the scariest bit is for me to say something in the moment, and that's something that I need, that I'm practicing. So how do I communicate that story or that worry or that emotion in the moment?
Mm-hmm.
That's something I'm not that good at doing at the moment.
Yeah.
Because I am the shutdown, so I'll bring it up like 3 days later. And then my partner will be like, where the fuck did this come from? Basically, you know, you were okay. You're like 30
delayed
seconds
delayed communication
ago.
Or delayed. Withholding communication.
Yeah. 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 But what's intentional though is how I communicate it.
When you do communicate.
Yes.
It. Yeah.
So I'm very aware that I don't want to blame and I don't want to criticize and I want to use language that is about me and about how I'm feeling and that I just want to get it off my chest and I allow the tears. So that's one thing that I don't stop.
Mm.
I allow the tears so much. So I don't care if I cry. I'm all right with it. I actually kind of enjoy the tears because I know then the emotions are moving and it's coming on through.
The energy's moving.
It is.
Yeah.
And so look, it still doesn't mean that it works out perfectly. That's also the thing.
No.
So I can think about it for 5 days and also it'll turn to shit as soon as I do it. So there's also for me like, Jess, give up your 5 days and just have it turn to shit after day one, would you? So then we can be okay.
Pretty much. Yeah. Yeah.
So there's a lot of learning there still to do. But what would it be for you? What's the unintentional and then intentional?
Yeah, the automatic responses are like, I will want to be right about something. So I'll be righteous. Like, and in doing that, if I've got to be right, someone else is going to be wrong. So everyone else is wrong and I'm right about something that happens, like, you know, that someone else has done. And then if it's something I've done, I'll probably make myself wrong about it.
Mm-hmm.
So doing those things, blaming, I want to blame people. Previously I would get like just angry and just snap and explode. I'll be sarcastic. Mm.
Okay. So a bit passive.
Yeah. Passive. It can be passive aggressive sometimes. Yeah. I actually did like a anger management course online and I learned about all the different ways of how anger shows up.
Amazing.
Yeah. And being sarcastic was one of those. And I was like, fuck, are you kidding me? Like, it was amazing. That's what's there for the like automatic responses. And then for the intentional responses, I will cry or scream into a pillow and cry, usually after the anger comes the sadness and crying and all of that. I will write it or type it down a lot. Then like have the conversation, I guess, like that needs to be had if there is one. Sometimes it's just I need to like or go for a run. Like, or do some exercise. Sometimes once I've done the exercise and I work it out whilst I'm on the run, I'm like, huh, I'm good. You know?
That's really cool that you've worked out those strategies. And so for people listening, then this is a great way to figure out, well, what are my strategies to release and expose the emotions and have them move? Because like you with your running, so mine would be...
Oh, breathing as well.
Breathing is a good one. Yeah. So breath work and yoga and meditation would be mine. So I turned to that. And even yesterday I did a yoga practice and it was a heart-opening one to release some emotions because yesterday was a really, really challenging day for me with emotions. And a lot of tears came through I felt really, really good about that. I felt like, okay, things are moving. This is working really well. And it's always the things that you don't want to do in the moment that you just simply must do. So even with my clients, I'll say, yeah, I know what needs to be done, but I just choose to do the housework instead. Well, you're really doing yourself a disservice then, and you're also ignoring yourself and what you need to move forward, which I know you desperately want, but somehow we sabotage it and we don't do it, and that can be for various reasons. So, and I know even though we've shared how we relate to our emotions and what's the unintentional response, there's people out there that their unintentional response is to absolutely fire in the second, and they don't give any time to the thinking part. They don't give any time to the reflection part. And I often see, and I don't know if this is what this is like for you and Nathan, but for me and Chaz, we have the opposite. So, and I notice this in relationships, and I wonder if, you know, those of you listening is the same. So for me, I take a step back and I want to reflect and get all my words right and in order. Whereas for Chaz, he's actually really happy just speaking it out in the moment and saying it what's in his heart and his head right then and there. And I wonder, it's interesting just the polarity in that and the difference. Do you find, is that similar for you guys, or do you both go along the same path, a similar path? It's never the same.
I think in the beginning stages of our relationships, we had the same mechanism, which was just to eject.
Yeah.
Like run.
Oh, gosh, yeah.
Yeah. And now it's more moment by moment we'll talk it out. Like, yeah, because as soon as I'm holding on to something, I know I am. And he does too. So it doesn't stay held on to for very long, because it just interrupts then whatever we're doing in our life. It's just too obstructive. One of the pitfalls about these, call them strategies, is that after you've done some breathing or meditation or gone for a run, you're likely to feel really like good and centered and calm. And the pitfall is that after this happens, you won't actually go and take the action necessary to deal with what caused you to be there in the first place. And the best way I can describe that is when, I think you said earlier, Jess, might have been the other episode before this, you know, like you'll see some people and they're like super zen and they're like, I've dealt with all my emotions. And then on the way home, you see them like road raging because someone cut them off. So the strategy, the pitfall, one pitfall is you don't deal with whatever you need to deal with because you feel so great afterwards. You're like, life's awesome. But then that thing happens again and you're like, oh, I need to go meditate. And then that thing happens again and you need to go meditate. And then quite soon, like meditation or breathing or running becomes a cage that you've created for yourself. And it has the opposite impact on your life then. It's not assisting you. It's just a coping strategy, habit, a loop that you've got yourself into.
I love that. I'm so glad that you brought that up. That's a really good point. And if I think about that for myself and also a lot of the people that I work with, it's the repeatable behaviors that make you feel so, I guess, uneasy with yourself or disappointed in yourself because you really do want them to change. But those strategies, as you say, they're not cutting it anymore. They're not cutting it.
So yeah, they have a purpose.
They
right?
do. Yeah. You're yeah. right though. Yeah. And then, so it's the digging part into where have they come from that gives us more of the power then.
Yeah. Or just taking the action. Cause quite often when you're doing that run or the meditation or the breathing, you'll have an insight. Oh, okay, I was the one trying to be right there. Okay, well, after you finish meditating, go and clean it up with the person that you made wrong.
And by cleaning up, you mean?
Just have a conversation with them and say, hey, I was being righteous then and it doesn't work, blah, blah, blah. Because otherwise, you'll then, my experience is that you then feel like you've got to hide, like from that person, you feel like you make yourself wrong for it. And then that's where the box and the loop starts happening and you get on the merry-go-round of it all. So, just look out for that one. Yeah, and there was something else, but it's gone again. This is such a great topic.
It is a great topic. Why do we love talking about emotions so much?
Because we're human beings.
Mm.
That's we're just like our body is a clump of energy.
And I wonder, you know, as soon as you said that and everybody listening, I wonder how many conversations you have in a day that revolve around your feeling or emotion towards something or someone. So they're always there. They're always present. And it's always the foundation of whatever conversation that you're having. So if you think about that aspect then and you're going around in circles or the life you're living is not the way you want it to be, then what emotions are you not understanding that fuel the conversations that you're having that then dictate the behaviors that you are projecting and doing and experiencing, because they ultimately create the reality. So that's why then we always, our emotions are nearly at the bottom of the pit to discover, but there'll be something below that, you know, that's really at the bottom of the pit to get to. And this is why I love working with the body so much. And you've done Vipassana as well.
Yes.
And this was one of the things that I really got to embody. So for those of you who may not know, Vipassana is a meditation experience for 10 days where you meditate for 10 hours a day. You're not allowed to talk to people. You're not allowed to make eye contact with people. And it's one of the most confronting experiences of your whole entire life. And when I've said that, you'll either have a reaction of, oh my God, I could never do that, or oh my God, that sounds fascinating.
I'd love to shut off from the world for 10 days.
And one of the biggest things I got in that was how much we need to be okay with what's going on in our bodies. So when I say getting to the bottom of the pit, usually it's understanding, yes, who created that? How did it get created? Why did I decide that that reaction or that emotion is needed in these moments to keep me safe, to keep me well, to keep me feeling good about myself, whatever the case may be. But how can I neutralize that sensation in my body?
Or be okay with it.
Yeah.
Be okay that it's happening. Because it's going to happen, like whether it's then or later, like just be okay that it's happening. Mm. For me, that's where I'm at, is breathing and going, oh, okay, that's what my body's doing. Okay. That's what's going to keep doing. And something that I say to myself now when I'm in a moment is I make the difference. I am the one. I make the difference. Whatever's going on, I'm going to make the difference here. Mm. And that has me act in a way that is aligned to the difference I'm out to make with people or a meeting, project, whatever it is. Yeah. I've been taking that on and it's working really well for me at the moment. So there keeps coming up this thought that I'm like, oh, I want to share that, and then it's, you know, 3 seconds before I want to share it, it's gone.
Like, what does this mean, Britt? What does this mean?
No, I'm not gonna make any meaning out of it.
Somebody up there is teasing you.
I've got it.
Do it.
So if you are like a long-time listener of the podcast, you may have listened to the eating disorder series that we did right at the start. And in that, you know, I will have mentioned how my coping mechanisms to deal with emotions was to eat. Now my coping mechanisms are different now. And other people's coping strategies, that like there's a spectrum from like breathing and meditating to full-on rage to smoking to drinking to punching someone in the face. Like they're all responses to dealing with intense emotions. And so I have discovered for myself that like my breathing now is just the same as someone else's punching someone else in the face. They've just got this emotion. They don't know how to deal with it and they're getting it out. Not whether intentional or not, but their experience is one of a similar experience that I'm having in my body. So if you can locate yourself there when you're interacting with people and they're having big experiences and big emotions and just, you know, because we all come across people that are emotional, you know, whether it's road rage, shopping cart rage, I don't know. It happens. People are really angry these days and they don't even realize it, and it's becoming the norm. So being able to be with other people's angry. Mm. And first you've got to be with your own angry.
Mm. Yeah.
And not make it wrong. Which, yeah, I've been practicing a lot of lots of crying.
Bring on the tears, I say.
Yeah, all the tears, all the tears. Mm. What about like not, I think Jesse recently discovered, i.e. yesterday, that you could be emotional and still do what you said you were going to do. What did you discover about that?
Yeah, so I think one of the things that's inspired this conversation for us is because we were talking about my day yesterday, and it was an emotionally painful day, people. Okay, and it doesn't matter how much work I've done on emotions, my emotional pain still feels horrendous when it happens. It really did. It felt horrible. This was my new level. This was my new level of uncovering, and this was the new onion peel.
The layer.
This was the new onion layer that I needed to deal with. And so, yes, I was feeling horrendous. There were a lot of tears. I felt it in my body. I wanted to numb it so badly. I wanted it to go away. So, yes, I turned to my meditation and my yoga. Yes, that was a very good thing for me to do. But I still wanted to run away from people, and I still wanted to hide in my home and not see the world and cancel
not come to
everything.
The event that we had not, planned last night.
Yep, not come to the that. Event that we had booked, we'd paid for, that I'd given my word to you that I would be there. I wanted to cancel all of my clients, and I was like, yes, I can do that. How I'm feeling right now matters.
It's right. I'm justified about it. Yeah.
Yep. And do the same thing every time, maybe hop on Netflix, watch a few things to get me away from this horrendous feeling and emotion and sensation, and also the stories as well. I was trying to run away from the stories in my head too, because they were tormenting and they were painful. And I went to the event last night with you, of course, as you know. And on the way there, I'm thinking to myself, this is horrible. I did not want to go. Maybe I could still call Britt and tell her that I'm not coming. Maybe I could tell her that I've injured myself. And
so lie. So right? Lie. Trying to get out of things. Yes. We'll have you lie. Yep.
Yes. Trying to get out of it.
We'll do it.
Yep. Creating all of these things that I could say, Britt, I'm sorry, I'm in hospital, but I can't come. And I got there. And I ended up having a really great night, really great night, probably one of the best meetings or events that I've been to ever. And on the way home, I was thinking to myself, because I know that for me, one of the biggest things that I'm working on is not having emotions dictate what I do and what I don't do. Mm-hmm. And I know I've still got a long way to go with this, but last night couldn't be any clearer in me understanding and appreciating that we don't always need to allow emotions to dictate what we do and what we don't do. And that listening to them doesn't mean truth. And listening to them and deciding that we shouldn't go there because my emotion's real actually doesn't predict the outcome. Mm-hmm. So last night I had a great night. So now I got to see, well, Jess, there's some evidence for you that when you do what you said you were going to do, and don't worry about the emotions for now, you could turn things around. I think this has a lot to do with what you keep saying, and that energy is in motion. Mm. And that's what it was. I was in motion, so I was moving through it. Yes, there were tears on the way to the event. Mm. And I was trying to make sure the tears didn't come out to put the mascara down my face. And I'd be like, everyone knows I'm crying. I'm going to a women's event. Everyone's going to feel good. I'm going to be the only loser there that's in a, you know, sad mood. Yeah. But on the way home, it was like, Jess, you can do this. You did it tonight. That means you can do it again. Yeah. So then what happens is, instead of the story playing out in my head that, once again, Jess, you've failed, you're a disaster, you are a terrible human and you shouldn't be proud of yourself, I came home with pride. I came home feeling good about myself. And they're the things that help us with our own self-worth and our own self-love and appreciating who we are and building that. So it's those little things where we wouldn't usually do it, but we do it. We do the hard thing. We do the hard thing and we build that pride and we build that self-confidence and self-assurance that I'm going to make it, even though it's going to feel really hard sometimes.
Aww. Yeah. I am so proud that you're proud of yourself.
Oh, thanks.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, I've got nothing else to say. That was so beautiful. Thank you for sharing.
Thank you for asking me.
So clearly for everyone to get it. Mm. Yeah. Yeah. Well, that wraps up our little emotion series. So thank you for listening and have fun sharing what you've gotten for yourself out of listening. Our goal is for our content to reach as many people as possible and become the number one women's empowerment podcast in Australia. So our call to action is that you contribute to the women in your life by sharing this episode, subscribing to our podcast, giving us a 5-star review, and leaving a review. Bye for now.